Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 78, July 24th, 1993. We're still in Council, Virginia, so no new venue. You'll have to wait till next week to get the demographics from Doc Turner on the next venue. Other than that, I'm sitting here with Doc and Harper, and we're talking about the new XFL that's going to fail miserably because Vince doesn't have a fucking clue what he's doing, and we're recording this the day after the big XFL 2020 announcement. So we're recording this on January the 26th, 2018. You won't hear it for a month, but oh well. Harper, how you doing this morning, man? You hanging in there?
I'm doing great. I just watched Megyn Kelly.
I don't even know what who is Megyn Kelly.
The broad that she's like a news broad.
News broad. Give me some more details.
The blonde.
Blonde, I'm out. Okay, you lost me.
Doc knows.
Doc?
What?
Megyn Kelly, do you know who the fuck he's talking about? I have no clue who he's talking about.
Fox News coos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what she used to be.
Harper, remember, do you remember the chick I sent you about a month or two ago? The traffic
the
girl
chick,
in Dallas?
The fine ass fucking thing. Yeah.
You can't tell me she ain't fine.
Yeah, no, huh? Damn.
That broad got some ass on her.
Who's this?
She's a Dallas traffic chick. I don't know who. I don't know what station she's on, but I know she took some heat because like some old white woman said that they needed to get her off of air because she's like a size like 10 or 12 and she's in size 6 clothes. And I ain't gonna lie, that motherfucker put some tight shit on, but God, she's fucking fine. And so some white lady, some like old white lady was complaining about her and like so social media went crazy over it. And I sent the link to Harper. I was like, bruh, look at this broad. And he's like, damn, bruh. And I don't know what station she's on. Her name is Demetria Olabon.
Out.
What?
What's her first name?
Demetria.
Out.
She's mixed too. You can tell. I mean, she's. I think she's mixed. I don't know. That motherfucker fine, though. God damn, she fine. Anyway, we're here to talk Smoky Mountain. They won't ever see women
your
like
wife
her.
Comes in the morning and is like, motherfucker, you work from home. Why are you watching the motherfucking traffic?
Oh, I tweeted I tweeted that out, actually, when that happened. I was like, man, I'm glad I watched the traffic report this morning. Now, did I say that I work from home? Because, yeah, it's true. I was like, she popped the ratings for everybody who doesn't drive in. All right. Well, let's get started. We're, you know, like I said, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 78, July 24th, 1993. We're the most unprofessional wrestling podcast there is. Dutch and Bob Cottle at the... Well, Doc, how you doing? I didn't even ask you. Did you have anything for us this morning?
Oh, I'm in the middle of a very blessed morning. Thank you for asking.
Okay. That's it?
When you're blessed, it's very simple.
Be blessed and be a blessing, brother. All right, so Dutch and Bob Cottle kick us off. But Bob tells us that we will see highlights from Summer Blast, something I know I didn't stress last week, but last week was the Summer Blast go-home show. So the fact that they're still in the same venue that they had to be creative with the booking here, because they're in the same venue that they recorded before Summer Blast, but... Now they're still in that venue after Summer Blast, so you had to have some level of creativity here. Also, Tim Horner will face the Dirty White Boy in the Beat the Champ TV title match. By this point, everyone would have heard the Tommy Noe interview on the flagship show, and I'm still trying to decide if I will have Tommy contact Tim Horner for me and get Tim Horner on the show. But I'm only going to do it if Harper and Doc want to appear with me so we can
find all your... No. I'm busy that week.
I'll just be like... I told you
it wouldn't be a good idea because I would say so. I would say I don't give a shit, but I would say something and he'd get mad and hang up, and then we wouldn't get the gold. You're the only one that can shuck and jive for the boss and not get uppity and make it work.
You're saying I'm the only one professional enough to pull it off?
Well, yes. You say we're an unprofessional podcast. Harper and I are the unprofessional, and you're the professional.
I'm more foul-mouthed than either of you two bastards combined, but I'm the professional one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I couldn't do it, man. I was just like, hey.
I would. The first thing I would say is, can you say Paul Orndorff for me?
I'll start bringing up
Please,
back
please.
pain and everything else.
What would you, Hopper? What would you say?
I'll start bringing up the fax machine and that fucking office that he ran out for his little broad.
The one that he was banging that broad in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd be like, no, I'm fuck this shit. I'm getting punked. And he'll just hang up.
Catfish,
I'm too old for fucking shit. Fuck y'all.
Yeah.
That was
we'll
like
see.
25 years ago.
I'll see. I haven't decided yet. I mean, Tommy's friends with him, so we'll see. Let's keep going. So after the opening, we got Jimmy Jannetty and Jeff Daniels in the ring. Hopper, Jeff Daniels has a bit of a Black Bart look to me with that singlet he's wearing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that was the first thing. I'm not saying he looks like Bart, but he actually has that bit of a look to me. I don't know. What did you think?
He actually looks like a real heel and has real gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he got some extra scratch from getting his head split open so he could afford some tights.
Yeah.
Hopefully. God, he got Sullivan plastered him from behind. I still think that was like, that was uncalled for. That was reckless. I don't care what anybody says.
I miss Sullivan, man. His brand of lunacy is desperately needed in a promotion like Smoky Mountain.
Oh, yeah. Perfect fit. So this match is quick. The Rock and Roll Express wins with a double drop kick. Harper, you got any thoughts on the match? It was a quick
one.
Yeah, me either. Doc, what about you?
I thought the audio, which I think is from the recording and maybe not from the tape, was pretty bad here. But my note was that the Rock and Roll must be trying to impress some special rats because they were real impressive here.
I'm not following your humor.
I just thought maybe they were putting on a show for some special ladies in the crowd, and they were like, watch what we're about to do to these guys, and we'll meet up with you after the show.
All right, that was a lame joke if I've ever heard one. Now, with that said,
it wasn't a joke. It was what I thought I saw, motherfucker.
Okay, well, after that, the Rock and Roll Express are going to cut a promo, and this is what we're going to listen to now.
All right, fans, with us right now, the Rock and Roll Express, Robert Gibson, Ricky Morton, charter members right now of Armstrong's Army. Right, Robert?
That's right. You know, Bob, I heard Dutch Mantell say former champions.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Dutch and everybody else. That's just for a little while. We got something called a double drop kick, 442 pounds inside your head, and big guys, you will go down.
That's right. And to you, Jimmy Cornette, they say the cream always rises to the top. But in your case, it's the scum in the sewer. Now, you can go out here and you can hide behind those two big old bruises on them. But one thing about it, they might be bad. They talk about them big old cobras they got. But you remember one thing, baby. These right here are deadly. So it don't matter us. You bring it on anytime, any place. We want our belts back. The fans want their belts back. And we're going to get them back.
Rock and Roll Express fans, don't go away. We got more action coming up.
Doc, thoughts on Ricky there and Robert?
Can I have some thoughts with that there having to be jokes? Can we talk, you know, intelligently about the wrestling?
Sure.
All right.
Damn, pal.
I'm starting to get a little bit worn thin with we're going to do it. We're going to beat those Bruise Brothers because I haven't seen any evidence that that's even possible yet. And I also thought that the Rock and Roll, for the first time here, I was noticing they look like they put on a couple of pounds in the while they're working in the Great Smokies.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing.
See? And the last thing I wonder is all that's occurring is I wonder what they really thought about being cogs or members of Armstrong's Army. Because if we're going to, I mean, the Armstrongs are the Armstrongs, man. Come on. They get their due. I'm not trying to besmirch them here. But if we're going to put the Armstrongs up against Rock and Roll is a bigger name, but they're having to go and be a part of Armstrong's Army. I wonder what they really thought about that.
The wrestling business is full of egos. I don't know, man. Maybe they were kind of cool.
I mean, today they'd be like, it was an honor and a privilege, but let's go back and let's get back in that wrestling time machine Harper and I have, and we'll go back to 1993 and see what they were saying.
Yeah, I mean, you might have, you know, you had egos there, and I can imagine that they were like, you know, hey, we've been NWA world champs, well, you know, you're a part of us, not the other way around. And you can kind of see it, like, I don't know if it was done on purpose, but every time one of those Armstrong Army promos get cut, Ricky looks like he's jonesing to get his mic time in. It's hard to explain if you're not watching it.
Well, Bob is so good, though.
I know.
I know. That's the problem is that Bob actually does the hokey shtick better than Morton, mm-hmm. and it's more appropriate because it's age appropriate for Bob to do it than it is Ricky, who's starting to get a little long in the tooth.
Yeah. Harper, what did you have from the promo, if anything?
I was glad just to not hear the, you know, we're not here to play and stormy weather and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I agree. I'm with you there. All right. So after that, they throw us to, Tracy Smothers versus Primetime Brian Lee. And this is at Summer Blast. So Bob Cottle throws us to the match between these two for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling title. As you would imagine, Tammy plays a part in Primetime Brian Lee winning when the ref gets bumped. Tammy then gets in the ring. Tammy tries to spray Smothers in the eyes with hairspray, but Smothers takes it from her and proceeds to whooping Tammy over his knee, but he is stopped by Primetime Brian Lee. Primetime Brian Lee then hits Tracy with the loaded black glove after a failed atomic drop from Smothers. Mark Curtis comes out in the ring, and Primetime Brian Lee gets a 3 count on Smothers. And Primetime is the new Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight Champ. Harper, I'm going to throw it to you first before I play the promo with Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy. What did you have from this match?
I was sitting here watching it last night, and Smothers has Tammy over his knee about to spank her. And in the background, you see people waving Confederate flags. And I'm just thinking, once again, something you will never see today.
Not only do you not see it, but I think I got a semi when you were just saying it, Jesus.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Because you got two things there. It's definitely you got two things going there. One, you got the flag, you know, being waved, which we're not going to see a Confederate flag usually on any type of major. I mean, I don't even think you'd see it on Ring of Honor, and they're not even on the major.
No, you wouldn't see it anywhere now, unless it's like a Civil War documentary about the
Smothers is the only guy that can pull it off.
Let me ask this, Harper, with Wildcat TV down in New Orleans, have you all ever had, I mean, I know Tracy comes out with a Confederate singlet and he's got the flag. Has that ever made the TV down there?
Yeah. I mean, no one gives a shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you'd see it on your local stuff. I mean,
Maybe we should amend that thing just a second ago where you said you would never see it.
Well, no. What he's saying is you're not going to see it on Raw. You're not going to see it on...
No. This wasn't on Raw. This was in the Deep South, fool. We didn't have access to it.
Yeah, but even Smoky Mountain had a... I mean, I'm not trying to knock Wildcats TV, but Smoky Mountain had a larger viewing audience than Wildcats.
Sounds like you're knocking it to me.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just telling you what it is. I'm telling you the deal, asshole. But Harper's point is right. Okay, let's go to Ring of Honor. You're going to see that on Ring of Honor?
No. You're
going to see a Confederate... Okay.
Spanking a woman.
Right. You going to see that on Impact, Doc?
I see spankings of women, but it isn't on any wrestling show.
Where do you see spankings of women at?
I don't want to say anything further.
Okay. But Harper's right. You're not going to see two things you're probably not going to see on a major wrestling television, which is kind of sad, man. Kind of sad. Harper, anything else from that?
No.
Doc, what about you as Harper goes through his Trapper Keeper from third fucking grade?
I believe that was me, pal.
Oh, my bad. Oh, my bad.
I'll tell you why. The sheet I took notes on, man, my pen was just real light, so I can't really see it. So anyway, Chip Kessler isn't my favorite play-by-play guy of all time, but I really do like the fact that they have different announcers for different events, and it just seems like it makes it feel like the promotion is bigger than it really is.
Yeah, it's good to have a variety. It is.
Right.
You don't have to have the same voice doing everything. I mean, you have a variety of people.
It gives it a different feel.
Yeah, I agree.
And they did that early on with Les, and then at one point we had Lance Russell come in, and I think Phil Rainey does some stuff. It's just, it makes it seem like our guys are all out working everywhere, so they can't all be there, when in reality it's like, man, do we really want to pay Bob Cottle to drive all the way here from North Carolina? Let's just get Kessler to do it. But I like it.
Yeah, I'm good. Anything else, Hop? I mean, Doc? From the match, I mean?
Well, yeah, I said those ropes just don't look stable. I'm sorry. I keep saying it, but them sons of bitches look flappy as shit.
They're too loose.
Man, we're beyond, like, mud flaps down below, and we're really up to flapjacks up top, dude. This is just a real problem. That doesn't – I mean – I've run ropes before, pal. I mean, I ain't taking no bumps, but I've run ropes before, okay? I'm worried about the safety of the performers. That's all.
You're making a point about those ropes, but those ropes remind me of what I remember every world-class episode I ever watched. Those ropes in the Sportatorium were always looser than a fucking, you know, 3-cent hooker. Yeah, I mean, just, like, beat the shit.
Hold on, let me get my third penny. You think anybody in that crowd, to pull the thread on what Harper said about Tammy, you think anybody had ever seen a woman dressed in what she was dressed in?
Bro, she was fit. Bro, she looked good, man.
She had that, like, business up. She had, like, a female clothing mullet where it was, like, business up top and party down below with the shorts. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I bet there wasn't a Wanda Barber. What the hell is she wearing over there? God almighty. So that was nice. I like that. My exact note for Harper's note was see the fans waving the stars and bars. Jesus Christ. These people need Jesus. But the other thing I noticed here, and this is, you know, this was a good sized crowd. And I thought when they pulled off their heist, the people looked stunned when it happened. Like that was, you know, stars and bars, spanking Tammy, everything set up for our boy Tracy. And he got the ball, he got the rug yanked out from under him. And there was like, what the shit? Which is awesome, right? It's a reaction.
I'm trying to look up the crowd size right now. I had a spreadsheet with Smoky Mountain attendance on it. So this would be, this is 93, and I'm trying to look for, what are we in? We're in July right now, right? So
July 24th, pal.
Where was?
We're in Council, Virginia.
No. But where was Summer Blast?
In your mom's house.
It was in Knoxville, wasn't it?
So
I don't think that was the Knoxville arena, but I could be wrong. It's been a week.
No. It was in Knoxville, but I think if I'm looking at the right thing here, I think it was July 16th, 1993 that the event took place, Knoxville, Tennessee City Coliseum. According to the records, 1,100 people were in the building. So, I mean, that's a
good turnout.
Hell yeah. Well, here's the thing you got to remember. This is 1993 when wrestling is
We're in the complete industry-wide shitter.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're fucking struggling at this point.
We got Barry Windham dressed like the fucking stalker.
I mean, we're struggling right now. So 1,100 is pretty damn good now. So just keep that in mind. I think that's where, if it's not, let me say this, if they're not there, they're in Johnson City, which the records show July 17th, 93, there were 900 people. So you're talking about 1,000 at this
right.
point.
Right. And I want to say, looking in remembrance, that's Johnson City and not Knoxville based on the arena in the background, but I might be wrong about it. I doubt it, but I might be wrong. And again, let's not gloss over the headline here.
I think
we
this
have
is
a
Johnson
new champion.
City. You're right. This is Johnson City. Yes. I'm looking at it now. Okay.
We have a new champion.
Yeah, we do.
That's a big deal. It doesn't happen every day. This is, what, the fourth time we've crowned a new champion in this promotion, maybe? Or fifth?
In a year, yeah.
In a year and a half.
Over a year, actually. We're in July now.
Right.
Okay.
This is a every 3 months, every 4 months occurrence.
Yeah. That's something to say to that. Let's go. Okay, so let's go now to Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch. They're in the back now. This is after Brian Lee won the title. Here it is.
All right, we're back here at Freedom Hall Civic Center with the new Smoky Mountain Wrestling Champion, Primetime Brian Lee's manager, Tammy Fitch. But Brian, let me ask you, some of the people at ringside are saying something about a glove, a black glove you pulled out.
Hey. We did not have any black glove. People may say we have a black glove. There's no black glove. We beat Tracy Smothers fair and square. And you know what? Now I have the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship. I have the greatest wrestler ever walked the face of this earth. And I'm now the first lady of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And you know what? I'm going to be making some changes around here, bringing my own staff in, just like Hillary Clinton did when she became president.
That's right. And Tracy Smothers, how's it feel, baby? You know what you're looking at? You're looking at the first lady of professional wrestling, and you're looking at the only one, Primetime Brian Lee. I had the belt last year, and now I have it again. Like I told everyone before out in these bumpkin hills, I said Tracy Smothers is a small man, and I've been walking in a small man's shadow, but I'm not small anymore. I'm standing tall. I'm doing it all. And me and Tammy Finch here, well, we've got one thing done. We've got the belt, but I'll tell you what else we got to do. We got to go do a little celebrating, baby. So see you later.
Well, there's no doubt we're going to see more battles involving these two men as well as the first lady of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Don't go away. We got more action. We'll be right.
Well, Doc, you first this time.
Oh, me first. Hold on.
Okay.
Sonny got her come up quick, dude. It wasn't very long ago. She was struggling to just like pop on the screen, and now she's got the strap. That's what women do, man. Hot women can go from 0 to 60 real fucking fast. That's a lesson for all you broads out there. Be hot.
Okay.
It helps.
Oh, go ahead.
She came in, looked around, said, I need this, got that. Probably got some drinks bought for her at the time. So good for her. I love Sonny. I'm the biggest fan of her on this show, bar none.
She's progressed very quickly. You're joking about
so
it.
So anyway, he said they're going to be doing some celebrating. So let me break that word down to its Latin roots. That means they're going to be banging.
Okay.
And that celebration most definitely will smell like Bidissi.
Yeah.
Harper, your thoughts on this?
I like this Brian Lee. It seems like it's
better.
A whole different person. Yeah.
He's a whole different person as a heel.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is a whole lot better.
I like it. I'm good with him as a heel. I thought I had the same note. I was like, good stuff. Once again, Primetime Brian Lee is much better as a heel than me. I like this. This is good.
This is good. Fucking good. Mm-hmm. Because they need a good fucking heel singles guy.
Yeah, I mean, you got Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy, but I agree. I like seeing him as I like seeing him in his role. It's good. All right, so after this, there's a local promo, and let me say this. I hadn't planned on playing it, but here's what I want to tell you all. Scott Armstrong's outfit and fanny pack.
Well, that was my note.
Is I don't know how to explain it.
My suggestion would be, and I said, you don't have to play this, but I would implore everyone to go back and take a look, because in my notes, Scott has a quote-unquote interesting look going on.
Go to, if you're listening to this, write this down right now if you can. Go to about the 12-minute and 45-second mark when the Armstrongs come in and Bullet Bob's cutting a promo. And Scott literally has on a black, you know, wife beater tucked into his, it's not Zubaz, but it's like those crazy wear pants. And then he's got the fanny pack sagging down around him with his mullet going. It's glorious in all it can be. Harper, anything that you need to add to that?
Yeah. I was thinking the same shit. It's like, look, he's got the fucking fanny pack. And we got a guy, Ken Dixon, that fucking works for Wildcat. He wears a fucking fanny pack. I was like, where'd you fucking get that at, man?
They sell them at Walmart, dude. I mean, you can
do they really?
Yeah, I've seen them in Walmart. I've seen them everywhere. Fanny packs are great for wrestlers, man.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. Okay. They're not great for anyone.
Okay.
It
I like fanny
packs. Bang ass. Well,
bitches love fanny packs, just so you
know. No, they do not.
Take that from somebody who's been married for almost 12 years.
Dude, Harper, apparently it is a lot easier to get a fanny pack out on the open free market than I would have ever assumed.
Yeah, really.
All right.
Let's Amazon's got choices. Walmart.
I told you. Y'all think I'm joking. You can
just
because
it. Hey, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's a good idea. Limp Bizkit sold millions of fucking records. It don't make them any fucking good.
Yeah, Dix has them.
See? Told you. Okay, let's keep going. So the next matchup is Robbie Eagle and Mike Sampson versus the Bruise Brothers. This is another massacre. Cornette smacks Sampson with a racket and then smacks Eagle with it too. I want to play the sound of this racket going off on Sampson right here. Hold on. Here it is.
Right into the face of Sampson.
It's
well,
coming.
He's letting
Just
him get a real good look at it because that's as close as he's ever going to get to it.
What a blow from the hand.
And that's as close as a rock and roll is going to get to it.
Yeah, that was it. Harper, any thoughts on that before I move to the promo?
Yeah, that fucking tennis racket sounds great, man, because he's sweating, so he's wet, and it's got that...
Harper?
Where is he wet?
He's sweating, so he's wet.
What part of his body is wet?
What part of his body's wet, Harper?
On the back area.
Well, then you would say he has a...
Hydrated back.
Yeah. His back is very hydrated right now, Michael.
Okay.
So that
the most unprofessional wrestling podcast. There you go.
So, it sounds great with that fucking leather case from the tennis racket hitting him. That nice slap.
That nice slap. Kind of like when you're behind one of your broads, Harper, and you give him a nice. Okay. You stop now. Doc, thoughts on anything we heard there or anything on the match there?
Hold on, dude. I was eating.
So I'll tell people while you're eating. The Bruise Brothers actually lose, but it's because of DQ. But Cornette murders Eagle and Sampson with his racket. Bruise Brothers murder Sampson and Eagle as well. So they lose again, but it's because of DQ. And anyway.
This was like Sullivan without the spike.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I swear Mike Sampson has a new ring attire every week.
Well, the other thing, too, we've seen is I don't know if besides the rock and roll losing to the Bruise Brothers, if we've actually seen the Bruise Brothers win. Like, they've basically gotten DQ'd every other time, I think. So, after the Bruise Brothers, we get an update on Kevin Sullivan. Now, I do want to play this because it's important. Listen to Bob Cottle.
Fans, in the past week, we've heard again from Kevin Sullivan's attorneys demanding that all promoters around the world reinstate him and allow him to wrestle. Now, Ken Amura, who at first they thought had lost his eyesight, he has improved. But Dutch, he's going to be laid up for at least another month, maybe even longer. Now, Sullivan is pressuring Smoky Mountain Wrestling to show the tape of the match in Tokyo. But Smoky Mountain Wrestling is sticking to its guns and saying that the tape is way too bloody to air on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Now, don't go away. We're going to take a look at Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel.
Doc, any thoughts from the update on Sullivan here?
Yeah, when Caudill said that it almost cost Kanemura his eyesight, Dutch giggling at that popped me.
Yeah, he found it funny. Sullivan's attorney has demanded that all promoters from around the world reinstate Sullivan.
We know his lawyers can get shit done, right?
Yeah. I mean, they got Smoky Mountain to pay for his, whatchamacallit?
Therapy.
His therapy with a woman. Yeah. You know?
Oh,
feeding
God.
Him grapes. Remember that, Harper?
Damn, she was hot, huh?
That's what Doc said. My political party is titties.
Thanks a lot, Benoit.
Wow. Okay, so any thoughts, Harper, on Sullivan update?
I want to see him. I miss having him around.
No kidding.
I do, too. Sullivan is perfect for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But it's good. See, this is the good part about him not being here right now.
You miss him.
Let's
not have any spoilers, but that's the good part about territory wrestling. When someone goes away and they're gone for a little while, it allows you time to miss them. And then when they come back, they're even more popular. So I am with you. Well,
he comes back, right?
Oh, he's not done in Smoky Mountain. But okay, I won't say all anything else. Now, let's keep going. Usually Down and Dirty with Dutch is with Dutch, but there's no Dutch today. Smothers is on Down and Dirty with Brian Matthews in the back. Now, this is actually genius in two ways. I'm going to play the promo, and we'll talk about it after.
Wrestling fans, I'm Brian Matthews for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. This segment of Smoky Mountain Wrestling was originally intended to be Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantell. And his guest was going to be the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers. But
that's
fans,
exactly right, Brian. But I asked you to do this interview because Dutch Mantell makes everything a joke, and all he does is make fun. And everybody can tell that he's totally biased for the other side. Now, let me tell you something. As you can see right now, I'm a little bit naked because I don't have the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title anymore. The new champion is Brian Lee with Tammy Fitch. Tammy Witch with a capital B. You know, you can look at my face and folks will say, hey, you look like you lost your best friend. Well, I feel like I do because everybody knows that I helped Brian Lee get started in this sport, and it's a shame to see what he's turned into. But you know, you can see who wears the pants in that family right there, because that little gold girl, Tammy Witch with a capital B, that no good two-bit tramp hussy, leads Brian around by the nose. You used to act like such a big stud, Brian. Now you're the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, man. You had some kind of glove last time when we was in Johnson City, and man, you loaded, brother. You hit me. I've been in this sport 10 years. I ain't never been hit that hard in my life. It's loaded with something. I don't know what it is. All I can say is you are the champion. And I look around, and my pa used to tell me, he used to say, you know something, Tracy? He says, a bad woman can bring a good man down just like a bad man can bring a good woman down. Well, you're both going down because I got a little challenge for you, Brian. You come out here and you holler and you talk about how everybody's coal miners and how they're country bumpkins. Tammy Witch, you mock the way I talk and the way all the good folks in the Smoky Mountain area talk. Well, I got a little challenge for you, prima donna Brian Lee. How about a coal miner's glove match? Any of you folks know anything about out there? I know them coal miners do, because that coal miner's glove, brother, it's packed with lead. So what we do is we put it up on a 10-foot pole right there, and you climb up that pole. It's just like climbing an old tree right there after some walnuts right there, Big Brian. And you, whoever gets that glove, man, is fair game. And I'll guarantee you this, son, I'm a better climber than you. By the good grace of God and the support of the fans, just a little bit of lady luck. And that coal miner's glove match, if you accept, I'm going to be the next Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. Thank you, Brian.
Okay, Doc. Yeah, your thoughts. Come on, man.
Damn. Oh, sorry. That shirt Smothers is wearing is certainly something, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
It's classic.
That's his Panama City spring break.
Airbrushed.
96. Yeah.
I didn't even know if it was that far, if it was just something you'd get done at a mall, at a kiosk or something.
I think so. It's one of those mall things.
You said it earlier. I think Smothers refusing to do this with Dutch is a master stroke, because it makes Dutch seem like a bigger heel than ever. Like, I can't get a fair shake from Dutch, so that must mean Dutch is a huge ass heel. So I love it. And I really thought Tracy was great here, because he got the emotion, he connected with the people. It wasn't fraught with all the catchphrases and the it wasn't just weighed down by that. He got his point across in a way and in a manner that put himself with the people. And that's when he's at his best. And that's when, as Harper would say, he's their Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
he's using a stip that will certainly resonate with these coal miners.
I'm going to talk about that in a second. Harper, what did you think?
I kept thinking, I pictured him climbing a fucking tree for walnuts.
Yeah, that one got me when he said that. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, Tracy?
Right. I pictured some little, like, barefoot kid, like some, like, Hunk Finn kid climbing a tree for fucking Walmart, walnuts.
Yeah, did too.
But yeah, anything I want to see a fucking coal miner's glove match, bro. That's going to be good.
Yeah, now let me, so I want to take y'all back a second, and everybody listen. Ignore what Tracy talks about here. This was smart. This whole setup of it, it was so smart the way Cornette did this. So the tapings at this venue, like I told you at the top of the episode, were before Summer Blast. So you couldn't have Smothers promo on Down and Dirty in front of the live crowd, because he'd have had to come out there without the belt. And when the tapings happened, he still had the belt. So you do it behind the scenes, and then, like, to Doc's point, you air it with, you have Brian Matthews do it, which makes Dutch seem even more dastardly. And then you air it on the episode which airs after Summer Blast. So this is a real good creative way to build your TV, even though the tapings that we're watching here happen before Summer Blast. And then as far as the Coal Miner's Glove match, man, I love those as a kid. There's no better place to do it in the Smoky Mountains, if you ask me. I mean, they did it in Mid-South, but you're doing a Coal Miner's Glove match in the Smoky Mountains. Hey, man, credit Cornette and whoever came up with this at this point.
I mean, you come here and you do the running water, running fresh, clean drinking water match, it's going to make sense here.
Yeah.
Indoor toilets.
Indoor toilet match. Anything else, Doc, from that right there?
I thought that was really, really good promo. And to all the people out there like, Tracy's just in catchphrase mode. That's my response.
No, he definitely wasn't right here. Hopper, anything else from you?
No, it was great.
That was good. And again, he lost the belt, but now we got something to look forward to. Damn, Coal Miner's Glove match. This is some intense shit. After that, they do the most popular Smoky Mountain Star again. Same thing from last few weeks. Nothing new.
Hold on. No. I think if they held this popularity contest today, maybe Harper and I could win as a tag team and we'd get the TV. What do you think?
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. Let me tease next week. It's a 20-inch color TV.
Yeah. It's an RCA 20-inch TV.
Bro, I can't tell you how bad my scene was, how poor I was in 1993. I was in college. I was fucking eating ramen noodles, and I had a 27-inch color TV. Come on.
We didn't have a 20. We had a 21-inch Sanyo in 1993 in my house.
Well, your
color TV at that. That bitch had a remote controller. I think that was the first TV we had that had a remote on it.
Yeah, but your level of poor almost mimics third world countries. We're talking about normal people.
Okay, that's real nice of you to say. Fuck you.
I just Googled a coal miner's glove and compared to the one they used in wrestling to the one today. The one today just looks like those, like
something
those
out of
like
Star Trek.
Yeah, like those like NASCAR pit crew gloves.
Yeah,
wasn't that like DiBiase's gig for a while?
I think so.
Not coal miners. No.
No, but he used that glove.
No, he didn't. It wasn't a coal miner. DiBiase just had like a regular glove with the fingers cut out of it, and that was like his deal and whatever, but it wasn't a coal miner's glove. Now, there were coal miner's glove matches. I feel like Duggan was always the one involved in those, but, you know, I'm getting older now, and I haven't watched that shit in a while, but I remember Duggan always being involved in a fucking coal miner's glove match, but coal miner's glove matches are cool to me, at least. I think they're real old school. You could never do them now. People would shit on it.
No, no way.
I think it was good back in the day. But no, DiBiase would have his just a regular black glove with the fingers cut out that he would quote unquote load with something. It was how it went. So, okay. So then they go to the next match, and it's the main event from Summer Blast with Bullet Bob, Scott, and Steve Armstrong versus Cornette, Dr. Tom, and Jimmy Del Rey. Now, I'll walk you through this and I'll get your thoughts. So before the match can start, Cornette sprays Scott Armstrong so that Scott can't see, and now the match will be 3-on-2. Lots of bullshit and shenanigans, and I mean that in a sincere way, in this match. Cornette is the legal man, even though things have broken down into a 5-way fight. Cornette flops around the ring in the most Cornette way possible in the segment I'm thinking of. Dr. Tom and Del Rey are double-teaming Bullet Bob. Scott comes back out to the ring. Remember, Scott had gotten sprayed in the eye, and he chases Del Rey and Dr. Tom with a baseball bat. This clears the ring of Dr. Tom and Jimmy Del Rey. While this is happening, Dr. Tom finds a way to then get a chair, and he sneaks in and hits Bullet Bob with it across the back. Cornette is the legal man. Dr. Tom then lays Corny's arm across Bullet Bob, with Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies getting the win. Basically, Corny was out, but Dr. Tom draped his arm over Bullet Bob, and that's how they win. After the match, There's even more shit that goes down when the Brewers brothers come out. They start double-teaming Bullet Bob. Eventually, the babyfaces hit the ring for the save. But in the end, Corny and the Heavenly Bodies win. As it all broke down, we're going off air. We'll catch you next time. Harper, I'll throw it to you first, man. Any thoughts on all this? And
this was a whole lot of shit, man.
Bruh. Try taking notes on it.
I know, huh? Fuck.
Fuck.
This was a whole lot of shit.
It was a lot of chaos. It's mm-hmm. the best way to describe it. I pretty much gave you a play-by-play of it, but it was a whole lot of shit.
Doc, this would be hard. It's just hard to pull off something like this.
Yeah, you got a lot of guys involved.
Because just, the fucking one guy looks the wrong way or something, it totally, like, you know, it kills it.
Right, it would completely fuck it. Mm-hmm. Doc, what did you have here?
So, is this Phil Rainey on the call here?
I didn't make a note.
Back to my
know.
Point. Man, Jimmy Dale Ray hit a pretty vicious-looking power bomb in there. I like that. I thought Corny had great psychology and super great Corny bumps. And I really like this because I thought the whole thing was really done well because, again, on top of there's a whole lot of moving parts. But the fans started to feel good about things. Corny was getting his ass beat. But at the end, who wins? BA gets some modicum of revenge. But is it enough? And, again, you push this, kick this can down the road, if you will.
Pretty much. Cornette wins in the most Cornette way possible while he's knocked out. With his arm draped over Bullet Bob. So he wins, but the crowd is like, that's bullshit. He didn't win.
Yeah.
They don't get the full release.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Anything else, Doc?
No, bro.
But to the point you made, the Armstrong's army technically loses in the cheapest way possible. Now, after that, we do go to a promo. It is Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. And I'm going to play it, but Jimmy Del Rey is the goofiest fucking bloodied wrestler ever in the history of man. Here, let's listen to it, and then we'll react on the other side.
Don't worry about a thing, Jim. We can take care of that. We'll get plastic surgery on that, but we did it. We beat the Armstrongs. We took that general at his own game, and we did it. How do you feel, Jim? How do you feel?
I feel great. I've never felt better in my life.
Yeah.
My back hurts.
It's
Let
right.
me tell you something. Bullet Bob Armstrong. Bullet Bob Armstrong. I beat you, man. I not only sent you to the hospital at the Volunteer Slam, but I beat you in a wrestling match. I'm a bad man.
Yes,
I'm a bad man.
Yes,
I'm ready
are.
To take on anybody
oh,
now.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't care who it is. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is, man. I'm ready to take them on because
yeah.
I beat you, Bob Armstrong.
Yes, you
One,
can.
Two, three. In the Knoxville Coliseum, your second hometown.
Yes.
You were a Marine.
Yes.
You were a fireman.
Yes.
You've been a wrestler for 25
yeah.
years. And Jim Cornette
yeah.
in a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Beat you.
Yes.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest
you
of all
are.
Time.
Not only are you the greatest mind in professional wrestling, Jim, I've got to say you beat one of the legends. You beat one of the toughest professional wrestlers of all time. And you know what that makes you? One of the toughest men to ever step in the ring, Jim. We are proud to have you as our manager. You are the greatest, Jim. You are the greatest.
The main event at WrestleMania, baby. How do you
oh. It could happen. It could happen.
The main event at WrestleMania. Doc, what did you think?
Was it just me? Or did anybody else wonder if Del Rey was really in a wrestling match? Or did he kind of look like he might have been face down in some bloody snatch?
What the? Come on.
And would we really put that past a guy like Del Rey?
I don't even think Jimmy Del Rey would do something so heinous. That's gross. Jesus
what?
Christ.
It's a good source of iron, right?
Whoa.
It's
gross, dude.
Well, I'm just saying.
Is that
he looked
your
like
analysis
he didn't look like he had bladed. He just looked like he had just rubbed his face in. Anyway. Corny overselling the pain popped me. It was funny. Everybody's feeling good. There is no comeuppance for the heels.
None. 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 Harper, what'd you have?
A mute.
He was just with us. Where'd he go?
I know. Where does he go?
Oh, come on.
What does he do?
What did he do? Like, did he actually hit mute? What are you doing, Harper? Harper,
why?
You got to wait till after the show to jerk off.
Jesus.
Don't do it during. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I think. Like, Jimmy Del Rey is the, like I said, he's the goofiest looking bloody wrestler of all time. And then I came unglued when Dr. Tom tells Corny he could now main event WrestleMania. I just thought that was hilarious looking at mm-hmm. Corny and how stupid Corny looked at that point with his, I got to give Corny credit, putting on the full tights, arm length, late. I think Corny's get up. I got to credit Corny whenever he dressed up as a wrestler. It was hilarious. I'll wait for Harper. Harper, are you there? If not, I'm going to move to the next promo. All right. Well, it sounds like Harper's missing in action still. So we got Bullet Bob and Scott and Steve, and they're going to reply to the Cornette and Heavenly Bodies right here. So let's listen to what they have to say.
Been in professional wrestling over a quarter of a century, and I've never had anybody do to me what you've done, Cornette. You put me in the hospital. You even beat me in a wrestling match, you blob. I've been wrestling the toughest men in the world today. I've took a lot of beatings, but I've always come back, and I ain't letting this one stand. I'm here to promise you right now that I'm going to find a way, Cornette. I'm going to find a way to get to you, and when I get my hands on you, boy, I'm going to chew you up, and I'm going to spit cellulite nails. One way or the other, you're going to get it. You've insulted my family. You called my son from Desert Storm a deserter. You nearly blinded Scott, but brother, I'm tell you what, Armstrongs never die, brother. The old army, they say they don't die, they just smell that way, brother. Well, you got a good snort coming, because we're coming for you, Jimmy Cornette. It's going to be your day, baby, and it's going to be payday.
All right, Doc, so I don't know if Harper's back yet, so I'll throw it to you. Oh, there he is. Where were you a second ago?
Peeing.
Okay. Doc, thoughts on Bullet Bob, Scott, and Steve?
Yeah, I like the fact, first of all, it's just, you got to understand when you're coming with Bullet, you're dealing with, you know, everyone ain't going to be a home run, but he's going to be at a higher level than most, kind of like Corny. We talk about that a lot. You know, it's that thing he says where it's like, because these people have been with the Bullet for years, and he's saying, I've never been whooped like this. It's just, it's putting in their mind that this time is different. Yeah, he said it 6 years ago in that war, but we forgot about that. This time is the worst.
I love when they always say that. Oh, it wasn't nothing back then. Yeah, they want to rehash it. Harper, did you have anything, notes from Bullet Bob, Scott, and Steve there?
I love that line. It's just, we're not dead. We just smell that way.
That is a good line when you think about it.
That's a very good line.
What about when he said, I'm going to chew you up and spit out cellulite nails? Is that corny?
Yeah, come on, man.
And then I didn't play it. Let me see. Hold on. Let me play this last part with Bob Cottle.
Now, fans, after all of this took place, the Bullet sent word that he has a special announcement to make next week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The only thing we know is that he's found a way to get even with Jim Cornette. And we'll hear about that next week. Now, we'll be right back after we take this time out.
Okay, so I'm glad I played that last part because, so then Cottle, after everything we just saw between the Heavenly Bodies and their promo and Armstrong's and their promo, Bob Cottle sets the hook for next week just now. So now we got to miss church next Sunday morning because Bullet Bob is going to say something very important. That's fucked up. Doc, did you catch that?
I wasn't going to church anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Hopper did tell us that he used to miss
that's
church
him.
Wrestling on Sundays.
Yep.
That ain't me.
Okay. All right. Well, Hopper, any other thoughts before I move to, because we haven't heard from Ron Wright in a while. And
brother, I know,
Ron, Brother Ron's about to. Brother Ron's about to tell us how to walk on water again here, pal.
Yeah, it seems like him and a Dirty White Boy has kind of been shoved to the background.
A little bit, since they're not in the heavyweight.
Brian Lee popped up and all, yeah.
Yeah, since they're not in the heavyweight title scene. So, all right, well, let's we're going to hear from Brother Ron right here. Let's hear what he's got to say.
with the legendary Ron Wright, who I understand still has a $20,000 bounty on the head of Tracy Smothers. Is that right, Mr. Wright?
Yes, sir, and I tell you, I'm so happy. I'm just about completely out of this wheelchair. I may get up and walk on water when it's over. Well, let me tell you something. It looks like none other than prime time Brian Lee is going to go out here and take care of that man and collect that $20,000 for me, and I'll be happy as people's ever seen in their life. But let me tell you right now, we're fixing to get down here. You know my dirty white boys done got that TV title back. We're fixing to get right down here and defend that title, make us another $1,000 richer. Just tell them to ring a bell and get the match on with. We're ready, brother.
All right, Fads, you heard it right there, Mr. Ron Wright. He says the dirty white boy is ready, and he's got somebody to collect that bounty. All right, let's go to the ring.
I never get tired of hearing Ron Wright tell me that he's going to walk on water. Hopper, thoughts on Ron right there?
I was glad to hear from him.
Yeah, man. Shit. I missed him.
Yeah.
Where's he been? Shit.
And his health looks better.
Hey, he's looking good, man. He's off the generic meds, I guess. And his beloved dirty white boy is going to, you know, get him, win him some more money. Doc,
yeah, your thoughts?
Go ahead, Hopper.
He's not wearing any Yankees gear for the first time in forever.
He had the hat on.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But yeah. he didn't have the shirt. I agree. Yeah. He didn't have the shirt. Doc, what did you have?
I'm confused.
I think I know what you're about to say, but go ahead.
Well, if Dirty White Boy is wrestling with Bobby Blaze and the title's changed hands, why is the bounty still out on Smothers?
I don't know. I don't know if they really explain it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I guess it's just like, fuck it. Let's, you know.
I cashed in this goddamn insurance policy. I demand satisfaction.
Yeah, I guess. Well, there's actually another thing that's about to happen that is not really explained that we're going to talk about. So, or that I wanted to mention. So, they go to the ring, and it's Dirty White Boy versus Tim Horner. But Horner decides to help out Bobby Blaze. So one thing that they don't really explain is how the Dirty White Boy was allowed to keep the title after claiming he was the Mighty Yankee last week. So he just admits it. Yeah, I was the Mighty Yankee. I beat Bobby. Other than that, I'm actually quite fine with it. But I don't know, Doc, did you feel that way when they did this? It's like,
that didn't bother me as much as the bounty. But okay, I could go there with you too. And now I'm mad.
Okay. All right. Hopper, any thoughts from you on that part of it?
No. I mean, yeah, like what Doc said, that whole bounty shit, it's like, why is that still going on?
Yeah, I would have to concur. Now, so here's the thing about this match. Dutch is on commentary, and he's mad that Horner is allowed to give Bobby Blaze his spot. I just want to remind everybody, Dutch did the same exact thing last week when he gave up his spot in the match to Mighty Yankee, a.k.a. Dirty White Boy. So, I don't know. It was just the irony there to me made me laugh. Now, this is a long match. It's very entertaining listening to Dutch and Bob on commentary. Now, Bobby Blaze was actually about to get the win when Ron Wright starts ringing the bell. I think we're to assume it was a time limit draw. But I don't know if they really said it. But after the draw, Dirty White Boy DDTs Bobby a couple of times as well. Doc, thoughts on this match, commentary, anything you have here?
Starting out, my first note was, I hope Underdog doesn't show his asshole like, or show us his prostate like that dude Blaze did.
Bobby commented on that on Twitter too. He had sent something out about his ass being shown.
So here's a question. So Bobby's not a guy, and we've seen the last couple of weeks with Dirty White Boy being the Mighty Yankee. Those guys, it wasn't a regular deal for them to work under a hood. So did you work under a hood, and how hard is it if you don't normally work under a hood to then work under a hood?
That shit's hard to breathe in, bro. I hate it.
I think the people are interested in your terrible experiences as a failed wrestler, so why don't you tell them?
I only did it a few times, but it's very constricting. If you think about the fact that, like, when you're working out, Doc, you sweat a lot from your forehead, and not only that, but you got that fucking mask on, and it's some of them, you know, have like a nose thing, that nose flap that goes over your nose. I mean, it's just a bitch to fucking, it's hard to breathe in one of those things. It's just a bitch. I mean, I can only imagine the guys that do it. And, you know, I'd imagine if you do it all the time, it's pretty easy. But if you just never do it and then put one on and go out there, it's a whole nother ball game.
Okay.
Not that I did it a lot, but yeah.
Dutch was shooting in the commentary halfway through. He goes, Tim Horner has never had an original thought in his life.
Yeah, that was great.
Because Dutch was hot, man. Dutch did not like Tim doing this and making fun of his injury. I don't blame him.
Yeah, he was hot. It was funny.
I felt like Bobby did good here. He went. There was one time he went flying out of the ring. I was like, holy shit, dude. This is a house show, dude.
No, it's not. It's on TV, asshole.
TV taping, I mean. Ron Wright popped the hell out of me ringing that bell. That was a moment.
Yeah, like there was a fucking fire or something in a building.
And poor Bobby learned that you're supposed to play until you hear the whistle, but he thought he did, so I don't know what you tell him then.
Yeah. Hopper, your thoughts on it?
Well, I asked Bobby at WrestleCade if he was the underdog, and he told me no. So... I'm not going to call a man a fucking liar, so...
Well, that's good.
He's full of shit. He didn't ask Bobby nothing.
Yeah, dude. He goes, what, that stupid cartoon character? He's like, why the hell would I call myself that? I was like, that's right, Bobby. It all makes sense.
Yeah, sure does. Fuck. All right. What else? Hopper, anything?
Nope. It's just, that's not him.
Okay, not him. We'll have to take your word on it. So, yeah, Bobby, it's a draw, but Bobby is buried at the end. Not buried, but he's DDT'd a few times at the end. Now, we keep going. There's a local promo, but I'm going to skip that. There's a Tim Horner and Chris Candido coming on at the very end. And let's play that and hear what goes on at this point.
All right, fans, with us right now, white lighting Tim Horner. Horner. I tell you, against a dirty white boy, you gave Blaze his opportunity anyway.
I sure did, but you remember last week, I gave Candido something he wasn't looking for, too.
Oh, man, that Chris Candido, no doubt about that. I think he was surprised, and he seemed to be shocked.
Well, you know, the crybaby came in here, and he claiming to be world champion or some WWA.
Right.
Some. What's this?
And here comes the WWA champion, Chris Candido.
Tim Horner. I feel sorry for you, man. I'm embarrassed for you. One week, last week, you pulled my trunks on TV. A few weeks ago, you beat me with the chain, but I still got the win. Then they reversed the decision. And I tell you what, I was ready to stay here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling and beat you up Jersey style. I was going to beat you, shove you in the back of my car, and then bury you underneath the Meadowlands right next to Jimmy Hoffa back up in Jersey. But I tell you what, I'm really getting sick and tired of these people calling me crybaby. And I'm gonna take my belt. I'm gonna take my belt and I'm going home. What do you think about that? I'm going home.
You could have went home a long time ago for all I care.
Well, I'm going.
Just going. I just like somebody like that.
Hello from behind. Candido attacking Horner from behind. Hey, and he's got a bottle of milk, a baby bottle.
Got a bottle of milk.
Right into the face of Tim Horner. Candido just squeezing that milk out of that baby bottle. Dutch, he's putting it now into the mouth of Tim Horner.
Well, Candido said, hey, leave me out of this, guys, but he's sticking that bottle trying to get it right
Horner
in his mouth.
Horner fighting, trying to get out of that.
Well, he's trying to, he called him a crybaby. And he's trying to put
Candido,
a bottle in his mouth.
When Horner gets up, Candido leaves, and that's going to do it for this week.
Let me tell you something, Bob Cottle. When he first came here, I thought it was a joke. That's right, Candido. I thought it was a joke, but it's serious now. You don't come out here and humiliate me in front of my good friend Bob, in front of all my wrestling fans. You should have left. You should have tucked your belt and left, because after this, when I get through with you, you're going to wish you had.
Ooh, fans, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week, the announcement from Bullet Bob Armstrong and All-Star Beat the Champ match.
I got a feeling y'all are going to kick Horner, but let me tell y'all something. I like Horner versus Candido so far. It's nothing special, but I like seeing like a young Chris Candido here. And I like it. I like Candido's a schmuck. His character, he's actually has me enjoying this. The whole baby bottle thing is hokey as fuck, but I thought this was funny, man. Seeing Tim Horner get sprayed with milk from a baby bottle was actually kind of funny to me. Hopper, you first. Thoughts?
I don't know if this was one of the greatest things ever or like one of the worst.
You know? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's so bad, it was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I liked it. <It's>,
But the only thing I wish was that they were covering up Tim's face when he's trying to put the bottle in his mouth, and I would have liked to see that like at a different angle of him like fighting and him, you know, squirting milk in his face.
Well, when he comes back and he shoots the part of his promo at the end, he's got milk dripping all from his face. So I mean, he definitely got the milk on him, but whatever. Doc, what did you have?
I would rather chew tinfoil than agree with you, but I like this feud. Candido's good. This is the other thing about slotting people correctly. Horner can be okay and entertaining in a mid-card feud. It's when he thinks he's at the top of the card or he gets presented that way, he gets overexposed. Tim Horner is the classic guy in baseball, in Major League Baseball, who can pinch hit part-time, play a couple of positions, get you through the season, and he might have one good season. You go, man, he's good. We should play him all the time. You play him all the time, and he hits 220. So I'm enjoying this. Candido's hilarious. I'm going home. I'm going home. And the baby angle is stupid, but it works. It's stupid in the right way. And
it gets real. I'm going to tease everybody. It gets real dumb next week to me.
Oh yeah.
But I loved it. It was so dumb. Yeah. I loved it.
Right. And these two are such. They're similar size, so it makes the in ring work good. Horner's been around longer, so he can help Candido, who's young. But they're both the same size, so it's a credible back and forth on the mic because they're both like looking each other eye to eye. And one's a Northern Yankee jerk, and the other one's sticking up for the South. It has everything you need for a good little feud.
You haven't heard this yet because it hasn't aired yet on the flagship show. As of us recording this, it will have aired after this drops. But Tommy Noe talked about this feud with me a little bit, and I told him how I thought it was really good, and he agreed. He's like, it was probably the best feud that both of them had while in Smoky Mountain. Horner especially. So, and he said he felt, just as somebody from on the inside, and Doc, you did say this, so I'll give you some kudos, that Horner took a young Chris Candido, who was very talented, and kind of taught him what most people like see as the Southern style, like that style of wrestling, which is the style we actually all like. So just kind of letting you know, I think he says it during the interview. I'm trying to remember if he told me after we were done recording or not, but I think it was during. Anyway, just so that kind of give you a little background about what was going on too with this feud. But I agree, it's kind of hokey as fuck, but I think I love it. I love Candido. I'm leaving, and then jumps his ass from behind. And I like your baseball analogy, even though I'm not a super baseball guy. I liken him too, also to maybe like a sixth man in basketball. You know, he's great off the bench in those spurts, but man, you start him and he gets a big contract. But if you start him, you know, 82 games a year, what does he look like? So good stuff. So all right, let me get a vote on the local promo. There's a local promo with Cornette, Primetime, Brian Lee, and Tammy in this episode. Doc, did you have notes on it?
No, and I think we've given these people enough content for today, so I'd say we start wrapping this thing up.
Yeah, we do. We got another episode to do. I want to remind everyone out there, if you haven't already become a patron, we've got a bunch of new patron stuff up within the last few weeks. Mostly the World Class Championship Wrestling episodes are up as well. So check it out, man. And again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. $2 a month. Become a patron. They get access to over, I think we're up to like 42 patron-only episodes at this point. So only patrons get it. So no matter if you're signing up for 2 or 5 or whatever, become a patron. Get access to the patron-only content. Again, it's not just that. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. We all put a lot of time into this gimmick. You know, we take notes. We got the timestamps. I got to do a bunch of editing on the back end that Doc doesn't appreciate, even though I do it and made him a popular Twitter figure, even though it's a parody account at BTC_Doc. Shout out to you out there. So help us out. Become a patron. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Now, let's get into the disability checks. I'm not going first. Doc, you're going first. What are you giving it?
Disability checks. I thought, again, man, I don't know if there's anything on here that just sticks out in your mind as a Smoky Mountain moment after you watch all 200 episodes, but everything on this show was really good, really, really good. And you got some big card highlights. The title changed hands. Let's not forget that. And for that, I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Damn. All right. Hopper, what are you giving it? God, he went and took another piss.
Jesus Christ, how swollen can one prostate be?
All right, I'll go. I went 8.0. Yeah, I mean, for the same reasons you laid out, I went 8.0, man. I think it's a solid episode. And Harper, if you're there, we'd like your disability checks, but I got a feeling you went and pissed again. All right, it sounds like you went and pissed. We'll get him on the back end. Let's go to the government cheese. Before we do that, I want to remind everyone, please use the Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Another great way to support the show without spending anything extra. So just whatever the costs are on Amazon, you're going to be charged the same thing, except the show gets a little bit of small kickback in return. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon, and we definitely would appreciate it. While I'm waiting for Harper to come back and give his goddamn disability checks because he's taking another fucking piss, follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper is at CJH. Who dat? Harper, are you back yet? Jesus Christ. I can't keep talking. My throat is getting parched. Fuck. All right. Well, he's not back, Doc. So let's do some government cheese. Government cheese. I think I'll go, and I'm going to give it to, I think I'm going to give it to Smothers on Down and Dirty. I don't think it was like, I'm going to give it to him for the reason of he switched it up. He did it different. There were no catchphrases. He just wanted to show us he's mad. He's a little bit naked. He lost his title, as he said. And now we're looking into a coal miners match. So I'm going to give it to Tracy Smothers as Harper's just dropped from the call. I don't know what happened.
Bye, Harper.
So we'll find out another time. What the hell? Yeah, so I'm going to have to go with Tracy Smothers here. So, Doc, who are you going to give it to?
This is going to surprise you. I mean, we had a title.
Tim Horner. Oh, don't do it.
No. Come on, dude. The title changed hands and Smothers was fantastic. But I've watched wrestling a long time, and there's very few moments when I'm sitting there watching it by myself that I actually like say something or laugh out loud and make some audible noise from watching wrestling. And I got to tell you, when I looked up and saw Ron Wright ringing that bell, I popped. I laughed out loud and I rewound it and watched it again. Him just over there furiously grabbing the bell and trying to ring it, he gets the cheese. That was awesome.
Wow. I'm actually kind of shocked.
I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you like it or not.
No, I don't think it's I'm not going to do like you when you don't like when I pick something and you just decide to bury me. I mean, because that's just what you do. You're like shock jock, Skip Bayless type bullshit. You pound on the fucking desk and have the courage of your convictions and type of bullshit. So, no, I'm not going to go there with you. I can respect what you're saying here. Ron was good, man. When Ron's ringing that bell, the best part about that is he's fucking clanging that thing like there's a goddamn fire in the building and he wants everybody to run out. He's like, oh no, brother, my man's done, brother. It's a time limit draw, brother. We're done here, you know, nothing to see. So I'm down with that. That's cool.
Okay.
I'm not going to be like you and bury it. I don't know what's going on with Harper, though. He's actually showing offline. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to close this episode without him, which really kind of sucks because I wanted to get his I think he liked this one. I bet you Harper would give this an 8.0 like me. If not an 8.0, an 8.25. And I want to say his government cheese, he'd probably give it to – I don't even want to speculate there. Not really sure. I want to remind everyone before we get out of here, check out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with the Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett. They do their podcast on Mondays. Just search WPAN wherever you get your podcast, or just search Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, another great way to get their show. You know, they've interviewed people like Donovan Dijak, Warbeard Hansen, so guys who are NXT now, they're good friends with them, and they've interviewed them. They talk classic. They talk a little current wrestling as well. They do a variety of things on their show, so check it out. Again, on Mondays, they do one show a week now, no longer two. Search, again, Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. And then I want to thank the Hall of Fame patrons out there. It is at DNEIWLSREMiller39, at Justin_Andretti, at JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at ThinManWithin, Slider91US, at ShipDaddy32, at USC49ers Dodger, at GeraldGreen3rd, at THog94, at SVPageam, at MartinHowell71, at TimMoreci, Coman822, GodBoldUnreal, UnconvinceRay. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. If you're out there, remember, again, to become a patron, tinyurl.com/BTPatron. Doc, I don't have anything else. I know you don't. Time to get out of here. Time to do episode number 79 in a second. So let's get out of here and find out where the fuck Harper went. Book it, bitch.
If you guys find him, let us know.
Yeah, if you find him, let us know. With all that said, time to get out of here. Book it, bitch.